put in there.
Throw it in there.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. First time. Feeling the recorder in the pocket. What a blessing. Psalm 55. Somebody's going to ask me how to go down there at Parkdale and be like, first time with the recorder in the pocket. That's what I'm going to tell them. Psalm 55. It is a blessing to be here. We church planters and churches, we've got to stick together.
Amen.
We've got to encourage one another. There's a whole lot out there that set against us to discourage us. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about victory over the voice of the enemy. And man, that voice can be awfully loud sometimes.
Yes, sir.
And far too often, I find myself not taking the time to get into that quiet place and hear the still small voice. And far too often, we do battle with the voice of the enemy completely on our own and in our own flesh.
That's right.
And that's not where the victory is found. And be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
It's so important to do that. Psalm 55, look at verse 1. We'll read through verse number 7. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for this service. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would grant power and grace, Lord, now as I preach. Father, certainly not because I'm speaking, Lord, but because your word is being preached, Lord, that the victory may be laid at your feet. Lord, we pray if there's somebody here today that's not sure that they're saved, they've not given their heart over to you in trust for salvation, I pray that today would be that day. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's struggling with the voice of the enemy in their heart, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that today would be the day of victory. And I pray that you would give me grace, Lord, now as I preach. I pray that you would give me grace, Lord, to choose my words carefully and use the time wisely. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would empty me of self, Lord, cleanse me of sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. This psalm is a psalm of David. We know that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David wrote this down, so these are God's words, but God chose to use a particular incident in David's life, and it's through that lens that we look at this. We can see in verse number 1 and 2 where David is coming before the Lord with a broken heart in prayer. And it says in verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me. He's begging God to listen to him. Hear me, he says in verse number 2, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. So he's pouring his heart out before the Lord. And can I say this, is that whenever we're having heart pain, the best thing that we can always do is to take whatever's going on the inside and go before the Lord and just pour it out before him. Don't be choosy with your words. Don't try to be extremely religious in the choice of your words. Take it and like a bucket of water, whatever may be in there, just dump it out. And that's what David is doing. And it's when we take whatever is going on in our heart, the pain or the confusion or the frustration that may be inside, and we take the time to go before the Lord, then that is the beginning of the repairing and healing process. I'm going to jump to the very last verse of the chapter because this is what Satan is after in our life. The very last verse of this chapter, or if you will, what David looked like when he was repaired or healed from whatever had taken place, and we'll get into that in just a second. This is what it looked like in the end. And this is primarily what Satan is after in your life as a Christian. It says in verse 23, "But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction." So that means whatever is going on in David's life, and we'll get to that in just a second, David had come to the point now where he's saying, those guys have done something to me, but God, I'm going to trust you with the justice of it. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." That's God's job.
Right.
We can forgive. Forgiveness is an act of trust.
That's good, isn't it?
Forgiveness is an act of trust. And ultimately, as we continue reading on in the verse, "Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." What Satan is after in your life, what Satan is after in my life, is for us to exist as a Christian without trust. He's after your trust. He's after your belief. He's after your faith. Now, we know that he's not going to come and take away our salvation, because according to Ephesians chapter number 1, we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just like you go and you buy one of those big jugs of water that and it's been capped. And I'll tell you, in Nepal, man, we would buy those all the time. Those very large 5-gallon jugs of water. Maybe actually they were 20 gallons, I think, or 20 liters anyway. And very big jugs, and they were sealed. You would never buy one that had a cap popped off because it had contamination in it. Well, can I say this, is that if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've been sealed unto the day of redemption.
Yes.
That means is that there is nothing that's going to happen to your salvation until Jesus pops the top off of that when we get up into heaven.
Amen.
That's when it gets opened up. That's when everything becomes as it should be. But until then, we've been sealed, we've been protected, we've been preserved completely, sanitarily, praise God, until that day of redemption. But what Satan can do, he can't take away our salvation, but what he can do is he can steal our trust. He's coming after us so that we walk by sight and not by faith. How does he do that? Well, as we go back in chapter 55, he's pouring out his heart before the Lord. At the end of the chapter, we see the result of that. The result of this process is now he's been healed, and now he's saying, I will trust in God. But there's a threat. We see the threat to his trust. And it doesn't come through Satan or through a vision or through something incredibly spooky or evil or some person generally that's been possessed by a demon or something that's ridiculous. It's something that we can encounter every day of our life. And it says in verse number 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So now he starts talking about other people, but in talking about other people, he says something very specific. He says, because of the voice of the enemy. Now I want you to turn your Bibles and go to 2 Samuel 15. It's very easy in the Christian life. This was not in the beginning of David's Christian, if you want to call it that, life. This was not in the very beginning of his Christian life. This is after he'd sat on the throne for a while. He'd been through quite a few battles. He'd already been through the time where he fell and sinned with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 15 is where we're going. But Satan never gives up.
True.
Jesus never gives up, and neither does Satan.
Right.
We don't ever get the final victory till we get there. Jesus won the final victory on the cross, but Satan is never going to give up on trying to steal your trust. Now, I've seen in the past couple of years men well into their 50s and have more than 20 years of stellar Christian service and living under their belt. And it's in their 50s and 60s that they either fall morally or they say something absolutely stupid from the pulpit and it tarnishes their testimony for the Lord. Satan will never give up on us trying to steal our trust. And the primary way that he does that is by putting another voice in our heads besides the one of the Holy Spirit. Try the spirits whether they be of God, the Bible says.
Amen. Good.
But what happened? What was it that took place? Well, 2 Samuel chapter number 15, and look at verse number 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually of Absalom. It will help us immensely understand the Psalms if we take the time to read a little bit about the background. And I'll not belabor the point, but David had several sons that were his, one of whom was Absalom. Absalom was a very good-looking man. The Bible describes him as this. And because of the sin that David had done with Bathsheba, who was the wife of another, he had committed adultery. This created all kinds of pain in his family. And Absalom, through a series of events, had basically become kind of an outsider in his family. And he had even taken and moved away from his father. And he'd come back kind of seeking forgiveness and kind of seeking restitution. And David, for one reason or another, would never fully forgive him. And so what happened was Absalom decided to rebel against his father. Now, his father was not only the father, his father, he was also the king. And Absalom went to the men who were coming into David. At that time, they would actually come to the king to get a decision on matters of the law and on decisions that needed to be made. And as they were coming to talk to the king, Absalom would kind of stop them and come behind the king's back, and he would talk to them very nicely. I mean, this was a prince. How many of you guys watched the wedding? The royal wedding. Oh my goodness. Yeah. All the guys are like, ah, and all the girls are like, ah. Right? Good for you. Praise the Lord. Well, by the way, none of those guys are that good looking. They're princes. And they don't have any hair. Them jokers would never get girls that good looking if they were not princes. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I know I'm in Canada, and I don't know if that's considered treason, but I'm sorry. But I'm just telling you the truth. I may have a prison ministry here pretty soon. So anyway, here's a prince. Absalom's a prince. He's going behind the king's back, and he's convincing people basically to come over to his side, to the point where now it's lopsided. He's got all these guys behind him, and there's very few with David. Well, David had a very trusted counselor whose name we read in verse 12. His name was Ahithophel. And we go on and we look at 2 Samuel chapter number 16. 2 Samuel 16 and verse number 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. You guys remember those eight ball things where you would shake it and an answer would come up? My mom always said those were from Satan, but I had friends that had them. And it was a game you played, right? You had a little eight ball and you'd shake it and then an answer would come up. Not right now. Go tell mom. Whatever it was, right? And it's supposed to tell you the answer, and it was just a game that you played. Well, in the same way, David, the king, and then eventually Absalom, who took the kingdom, they both went to the same person and said, "What should I do in this situation?" Whatever this man said, Ahithophel, it was as if God himself was speaking through him. And they took it almost as if he was the mouthpiece of God. When Absalom took the kingdom over, we find in Scripture that Ahithophel decided to change sides. He went from David, and now he went to Absalom. We can see if we flip back to Psalm 55, and we'll spend the majority of our time here. And I'll not go super long today, but we can see in the passage, he's specifically talking about Ahithophel when he's describing the voice of the enemy. This man that he once trusted implicitly, completely, a very trusted individual in his life, had now become the voice of the enemy. Look at verse 12 in Psalm 55. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then could I have borne it." Look, it doesn't... There are some people who are in this world where they're obviously not on my side. They're obviously wicked. They're obviously heathen. They're obviously against Christianity. They're obviously not in, they're not going the same direction. And if they say something to me, it can very easily just bounce off of me. It's not a big deal. I know you're not on my side. And that's what he's saying. He said, if it was an enemy, if it was a Philistine, if it was one of Goliath's brothers, if it was somebody else who was obviously not on my side, and they said something to me like this man said to me, it wouldn't have bothered me. But then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But look at verse 13. "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together," verse 14, "and walked unto the house of God in company." Before we continue, and we've already quoted the verse this afternoon, but let's take our Bibles and go. We'll look at two verses in the New Testament before we continue on. But just scripturally laying down a quick foundation, who is the enemy that we're talking about? We know the enemy is Satan. But let's look at Ephesians chapter number 6, and we'll just read a few verses here. There is power in the printed Word of God.
Amen.
There is power in having a Bible and looking at it. And even if it's just on your phone, having a Bible and having the printed page is extremely important. And that's why any religion that relies heavily on tradition, even though it may be under the Christian name, they don't encourage their members to have a Bible. It's so important to have your own Bible.
Amen.
And to be able to see it for yourself.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," the trickery of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then it goes on and says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God," and it goes through all the pieces of the armor. But it's very important as we study this passage and we're talking about the voice of the enemy. The physical voice came from Ahithophel, but that was not the source. The source that was attacking his trust in God was not Ahithophel. Ahithophel was being used by Satan.
Right.
We can even see this in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Satan comes to Eve and he convinces her to do something, and then Eve comes up to Adam and says, "Take and eat this." Well, we can see Satan is all through that. Even in the temptation of Job. And Job has suffered all this loss. His wife has also suffered all this loss. And then she comes up to her husband and says, "Curse God and die." Oh my goodness. We can even see it with Jesus when he's about to die on the cross. And he's trying to explain to his disciples, "I'm going to die on the cross and I'm going to be raised from the dead." And he's trying to explain the crucifixion and the resurrection and giving them a prophecy to kind of calm the fear in their hearts. And Peter says, "Not so, Lord." And the Bible says he took him and began to rebuke him. And what did Jesus say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's what he said. He didn't say, "Peter, you don't know what you're talking about." No. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." It's so important as we begin this Bible study that we realize that the voice of the enemy often will use a trusted individual in your life.
Right. Amen.
A trusted individual. Somebody that you have trusted in the past. Somebody that you ought to be able to trust now. Somebody that other people are trusting.
Good, brother.
But for whatever the reason, at that particular time, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're a bad person. Did Peter go on and do great things for God after he was used by Satan to say those things to Jesus?
Amen.
He absolutely was. And Jesus forgave him, and after the resurrection, and he showed himself to all the disciples, Peter was off, hidden and ashamed of himself for having denied the Lord. We've got to remember that if somebody has said something to us that is attacking our trust in the Lord and it hurts us deeply, doesn't necessarily mean they're a bad person. It means that they've let their guard down. They said something they shouldn't have said. And it doesn't mean that we can go and be chummy with them again necessarily, but it means that we, in order to get victory, we have to understand the true source.
That's good, brother.
We have to understand the true source. Many times people quit going to church because pastor said something, or this teacher did that, or this guy I used to believe in, or I read his book, or this or that or another. Let me tell you something. Satan is behind all. God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
We are human. I bought this suit. This suit does not make me holy. And sometimes things are said by trust a mom. You ought to be able to trust your mom. Your dad? Oh my goodness. Where would psychology be without people having daddy issues? They would all be poor, driving Hondas like the rest of us. You ought to be able to trust your dad. But I'm just saying, Satan is not an idiot. He's going to go after somebody who's trusted. Adam and Eve. Eve ought to have been a... There were two people in the world. But he knew Adam trusted Eve. He uses trusted individuals. It's very important for us to realize that as we study the history going on with Ahithophel, that's the outside circumstances, but the voice of the enemy is an inside voice. The Bible says in Romans 10, you can turn there, but I'll read it as soon as I get there, because this is a familiar verse. Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. God wants us to walk by faith. We please God by faith, by trust. And he knows that Satan knows that if we are not listening to God, if we're not hearing the Word of God, if we're not using the Word of God as the GPS voice of our life, he's going to try to replace that voice with something else. This happened in my life about a year ago. We came back from Nepal, and one of the things about being a missionary, and some missionaries go to places and they see great harvests of souls. That's awesome. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And some of us, God calls us to places where it's a little bit more difficult to see people saved, and that's okay too. God's the Lord of the harvest.
Right.
And he calls us and we say, yes, sir. That's how that works. We do what we're told and we're faithful. But I was calling all of my churches that support me as a missionary, saying, now God's calling me to Canada. And there was this one particular person that I was terrified of calling. I mean, there was some fear in my heart about this. And sure enough, he was the only one that said anything somewhat negative about however many people were reached in Nepal, and then when's the last time you saw somebody saved, and all this kind of stuff. And I knew before the Lord that I felt my conscience was clear. I'd been faithful, and I can't be responsible for fruit. But Satan knew at that particular time in my life that I was vulnerable. And for a long time, that voice was in my head. I can't do it.
I'm a loser. Come on.
It's good, brother.
Yeah, I'm being transparent with you. That's what was going on in David's life. David had just made a huge mistake by committing adultery. It had done irreparable damage to his family. Now his son has taken over the kingdom, and instead of fighting to the death for his throne in order to preserve his own son's life, he says, I'm just going to step away. His subjects are now cursing him, the Bible says, as he's Shimei is his name, cursing him, cussing out the king. I mean, goodness, who would be bold enough to try that? And Joab's like, I'll kill him. I won't even hit him twice. Just let me go hit him once. I mean, you know, it's great to have somebody on your side like that. But I'm just saying, at David's point in his life, man, he was low. But Satan knew that as low as he was, there was something that could finish him off. Because it doesn't matter how low we are in our life, and sometimes if we get that voice in our head, our hope is gone. Our trust in God is gone. Our joy is finished. That is something that the believer has that lost people don't have. Is that we can have faith that God is going to help us and get us out of a situation. And how can a believer get down and stay down? By not hearing the Word of God, but instead, you guys remember the cassette tape days? Come on now, you back row people. You guys, you probably, I don't know if you're, but anyway, back in the day, we had tape decks. And it wasn't that long ago. I'm 35 years old. Man, it's come a long way. But you could take a tape and you put it in the player and you could push play and record at the same time.
Yep.
You remember that?
Yep.
Oh yeah, man, you were uptown if you had play and record on your tape deck. That was the little red button, play and record. And I remember as little kids, me and my sister, we were real young, we would pretend like we were the people on the radio, and we would record our little radio shows. I never told you that. Yeah. Yeah. She finds out all kinds of stuff about me when I preach. But there was usually something already on that tape. It was a play tape. Like, it wasn't like my parents' tape or anything. But whatever was on there previously, you just record over it. Do you realize that's what Satan wants to do to you? You come to church, you hear God's Word, you read your Bible, you pray, God's Word, we memorize God's Word, we meditate on God's Word. It's in our heart, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then Satan comes along, and he doesn't come out by scrawling stuff in a spooky way like a weird, scary movie on the wall. Okay, that's not how it works. He uses somebody's voice to say something contrary to this book. He records over it. And now, when we're trying to trust the Lord and we're trying to do the right thing and we push play, we're not hearing that. We're not hearing God's Word. We're not hearing trust God. We're not hearing God's in control. We're not hearing it's going to be okay. We're not hearing the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We're not hearing there's power in the blood of Jesus. We're not hearing any of that stuff. All we're hearing now is just whatever that stupid person's voice said, which is really the voice of Satan. And it completely changes the path and direction of our life. There are some people in their Christian life are still battling over what somebody said to them years previous, even before they were saved. Or maybe something that somebody said to them in the beginning of their Christian life. And you know what happens? Your faith stops. And when your faith stops, your growth stops. You stop growing in grace. You're done. You're worthless. You're now a baby in Christ. Your desire for the Word of God, it just becomes routine. It just becomes religion. It just becomes cold. It just becomes your hope is gone. Everything is just worthless. It's like somebody let all the air out of your balloon and you're just blah. David, how'd you get victory? How'd you get your trust back?
It's found right here in the text. By the way, let me read this verse. This is another familiar verse. How do you know it's the voice of the enemy? 2 Timothy 1 verse number 7 says, "For God hath not given us," meaning saved folk. He's not given us, Christians. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How do I know that what that person... Because sometimes it's so confusing. Is what they said, is that really true? Is that really the truth about me? About my situation? I mean, do they have some kind of intuition? Do they have some kind of secret wisdom? And they really know what's going on? Well, if it produces fear in your heart and it destroys your power and your love and your sound mind, that's the voice of the enemy. You know what this world needs? You know what Parkdale needs? Now that I'm down here too. You know what Toronto needs? Powerful Christians.
Amen.
Powerful. You know, in the book of Acts, it really only took 12. How many's in this room? I'm not going to count. Pretty close to 12. You know what? You know what Toronto needs? You know what Canada needs? You know what the world needs? Christians that have the love of God that shed abroad in their hearts. Christians that have a sound mind. A sound mind.
But Satan knows the way to get rid of Christians from acting that way is by producing in their hearts fear. And he does that through the voice of the enemy. Back in Psalm 55, and we'll finish up here with just a few points.
Number one, getting victory over the voice of the enemy is this. What does God say? What does God say about the situation? Every time Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter number 4, he always said, "Jesus, Jesus." You know how like sometimes professional athletes that don't show up for practice? You know what I mean? They kind of slough off. They kind of, why? They've got talent. Realize that Jesus didn't act like that. He's the Son of God. He didn't show up with a swagger. I got this. That's the way we're built. That's not the way He's built. That's good. He defeated the voice of the enemy. Listen, it helps me to realize that He had to deal with the voice of the enemy too.
Right.
He had to deal with it too. And how did He deal with it? Primarily, actually every single time we see Satan coming to Jesus and saying something, He always said, "It is written."
Amen.
It is written. We can win victory over the voice of the enemy by getting back to what does the Bible say?
Amen.
What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? It says in verse number 14, Psalm 55 and verse number 14, "We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Number one, what does God say? Number two, in verse number 14, don't stop doing good to fight the evil. Keep going to God's house. Get another counselor. Okay, David, your counselor went bad. Okay, David, your counselor stopped going to the house of God. Okay, David, now you don't have the same guy that's going to walk with you to the church house anymore. Don't stop going to church. David, you still got to go to the tabernacle. You still need the instruction. You still need God's word. Don't stop doing the good thing so that you go fight the evil. That's what Satan wants us to do, is he wants us to stop going to the place where we're going to get the good instruction. Well, somebody said something to me at church and it really hurt my feelings. I understand that. I'm not minimizing that. Because sometimes we as Christians, we can say some pretty foolish things. But don't stop going to church. You're never going to... Hey, David, you're never going to get... That voice... Is that voice going to go away if you stop going to church?
It's not, is it? David, Ahithophel said some things. We don't know what he said, but he said some things. It's identified as the voice of the enemy. It caused you great pain to the point where you're pouring out your heart in all this pain to the Lord as you pray. But don't stop doing good. Well, somebody said something dumb to me when I was trying to witness. Don't stop witnessing. Amen. Yes. Satan desperately wants to stop the good.
That's right, brother.
He wants to stop the good. Next, because of the voice of the enemy, God will hear my voice. I've already said this, verses 1 and 2, but also look at verse 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Whenever the voice of the enemy comes up in your heart, allow that to be a trigger where then you cry out to the Lord.
Amen. That's good.
That's what David was doing. The voice of the enemy was in his heart, and that was his trigger to then go and pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it all out. Number one, what does God say? Make sure you stay in the Bible. Number two, don't stop doing good to fight the evil. Number three, make sure that God hears your voice when you hear the voice of the enemy. Verse 18, He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Praise God for past victories. Satan despises when we praise the Lord.
Right.
When we're battling Satan, one of the most effective means of having our trust in the Lord come back full strength is by taking the time to praise the Lord. You say, Brother Corey, how do I do that? Out loud, and I think this is vital. Out loud. I'm not saying get wild. I mean, rather the other day we were doing door hangers here in Parkdale. It was down, I'm not sure the streets yet, but it was down like toward the lake, really, really far. And I was on this second floor. It was like a little balcony kind of area, but it was outside. This woman had her earphones in her ears, and she was dancing up a storm. I'm not going to do it for you because I don't know how to dance like that. But she was unashamed. And I'm pretty sure she knew we were watching, but you could see the earphones in her ears. Man, she was letting it rip. Listen, I'm not saying go do that. But I'm saying whatever that person said was out loud. Sometimes it helps me to hear myself praise the Lord out loud.
Amen.
To hear myself say it out loud.
Right.
There is power in the spoken word. Sometimes we can read the Bible out loud. Well, I feel stupid. You're in a room by yourself. It's just you and the Lord. Don't let Satan make you feel ashamed for praising the Lord out loud. Again, I'm not saying that you need to be super bombastic with it. But there's nothing wrong with that either.
Right, amen.
And you know what? You know what some of you ought to do? You ought to find one of these bad boys right here. This right here will revolutionize your devotional life.
Amen.
I don't do it every day of the week, but the Lord has taught me from being in Nepal that when I'm right with God, and again, it's not every day of the week, right? Sorry. Take and sing one of these out loud. One, two, three. It will change. If you do that, come into His courts with thanksgiving and praise, the Bible says in Psalm 100.
Right, amen.
And you praise the Lord, and I'm going to tell you, the voice of the enemy is really very quickly going to fade. He is good. He is righteous.
Right.
I can trust Him.
Amen.
You know, I can't remember the last time I sang that whole song about the, what was that last song we sang? Bulwarks never failing. What was it? What's the last song we sang? Come on, guys, help me out.
A mighty fortress
is our God. I can't remember the last. That's a good song.
Amen.
Man, it's full, packed full of doctrine. It reminds me. It helps me. Some people put on good Christian music and sing along to it. That's awesome too. But there is something powerful about praising the Lord in your pain.
Amen.
Satan's power very quickly will vanish in your heart.
Right.
If you take the time to praise God for past victory, praising the Lord for your salvation, praising the Lord for getting you through something, praise the Lord in verse number 18. We have two more. Verse number 19 says, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Remember, this is the next point. Remember, ultimately, their problem is with God. That person that said that thing, remember that ultimately their problem is with God. It's not with you.
Amen.
And if their problem is ultimately with God, then let God deal with it.
Right. Good.
Last point. Verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I suggest that you circle that verse in your Bible, write it on something, and I suggest that you memorize it. Let me just give you a few definitions here and we'll be done. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. The word cast means to throw down. By the way, the voice of the enemy very quickly becomes a burden. Becomes something very, very heavy that we carry around with us daily. Throw it down. The word burden means, now get this, the word burden means gift. Cast your gift upon the Lord. Cast that which has been given to you by providence. Ultimately, God allowed whatever Ahithophel said by Satan to be said. He allowed it to happen. God has allowed that to happen to you. You don't know what happened to me. I don't. You don't know how much pain I feel. I'm sorry, I don't understand. But he does. And sometimes God will give us something very heavy, this burden, so that we finally realize, wow, I really can trust him. I really can. When I give it back to him, he really does release me from that burden. And we see God in a whole new way. And our trust of him is in much stronger than it had been in the past. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He'll maintain you. He'll bear you up. He'll provide sustenance, and he will free you. Many times when we're trying to get victory over the voice of the enemy, we may think that we'll get victory over it for that particular day. But Satan inevitably comes back and says, you may have gotten the victory over this today, but what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? And that causes us to fall back in that life of fear and unbelief. But David said the way that he ultimately got victory over the voice of the enemy is he said, I'm going to trust the Lord not only to take this burden from me, but I'm going to trust the Lord to sustain me. He can help you tomorrow.
Amen.
It's a blessing to be in church and get victory in church. But sometimes we worry when the music stops and the other Christians leave, I still have to go back to wherever I came from. I've got to go back to my problem. I've got to go back to the place where it's difficult. And we saw that over and over again in Nepal, where culture itself makes it extremely difficult for people who are Christians. But the Lord's there too.
Amen.
He's here, but he's there too.
Amen.
Isn't it a blessing to know that we serve the God who is everywhere?
Yes.
He's not just in church. You know, some people, they say, oh, you guys are meeting in a town hall, or in this case, you're meeting in a library. And other churches in Canada, they've met for 20 and 30 years, some of them, in places that don't look like a church building. But you know what? God doesn't need a church building. Christians for hundreds of years met in places that look nothing like a church building.
That's right.
But he's in here.
Amen.
And he's among us, and we're two or three gathered together in his name. There am I in the midst. And when I'm in my house, and I'm in my study, and I'm in my chair, and I'm by myself, and Satan comes and he starts whispering of whatever the voice of the enemy said to me, I can say, God is giving me victory over that. This is what the Word of God says.
Right.
And God's the great I am. That means he's already in tomorrow.
Yes, amen.
He's in tomorrow. Well, I don't know if I can have the victory tomorrow. God's already in tomorrow, and He's sitting there with the victory. That's good stuff right there, friend.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
And where did you get that from?
Right there.
Satan doesn't want you to remember that. He does not want you to remember that. Everybody bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Is there something that has been said? You know, sometimes the voice of the enemy comes from our own heart. It doesn't even have to be from an outside source. It can come from our own heart. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. God never said that. God said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm just going to ask two questions, leave the invitation to the pastor. Number one, do you know for sure that you're saved? People battle with substance abuse and other types of excesses because they're trying to get victory over something in their heart. And they choose just to try to dull the pain. But can I tell you, Christ died for us. There is victory in the blood of Christ. When we place our faith and trust in Him, there is healing in His wings. His truth is what takes the pain away. New growth, new birth is in trusting Jesus Christ. Have you had that time where you placed your faith and trust in Christ? And the second question is this, what do you need victory over? Is there something that's going on in your heart right now? Maybe somebody else said it. Maybe it's something your own heart says to you. The Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. Can I challenge you? Recognize that it's the voice of the enemy. Go to the Word of God and believe what He says about it. Turn that thing over to the Lord over and over again. Call on His name. Pour it out before Him. And trust Him with your tomorrow. Trust Him with your tomorrow, Pastor.